Well, good morning. My name is Austin, and I'm the lead pastor here at Pine Lake. And one of the things that we do that is unique, because we really value living life in relationship with one another, that we don't just talk about that, but we live that out on our Sunday morning gatherings. And so you might be here for the first time, but one of the things that we do during our services, we call this next segment of time our relational time, where we invite you to get up, to get to know one another better, whether it's your first time or you've been here for 40 years, but what we do is we give you a question that is kind of charged. It might cause some frantic and some tension between family members. The question today is Cadbury eggs or Peeps? Are you a Cadbury egg person or are you a Peep? What are you going to do? So we just encourage you, there's coffee and donuts and treats in the back. So we'll see you in 5 minutes. This is one of the best moments of our services, when we're trying to get everybody back, having great conversations. And so just hope this is the start of a good conversation with you, that you can continue after service as you've met some people. We do really prioritize just relationships here and who we are as we find and follow Jesus together. We moved here a couple of years ago, and a part of that newness of being new in a place is when a birthday comes around, like, who are you inviting? And I remember we hold birthdays really in high esteem. Like, we go all out for birthdays. And so I remember my daughter, Ellie, who's 10, when she got here, her birthday was about a year after we got here. And so she was able to make friends. And I remember this so vividly, is like the weeks leading up to her birthday, is that she began to think, like, very intentionally about, like, the invitations, what they looked like, when she would give them out, and who she would give them out to. And I remember that I've just never seen someone, like, on invitations, right? Like, I mean, besides, like, wedding invitations, I've never really spent a lot of time, like, on invitations. But she was really intentional about this, and who she picked to come to her first birthday in Washington. But the weird thing about this was, she was so excited, not about the invitations, but about inviting people to come, because she wasn't going to be the one that was expecting the presents. She was going to host these friends. Like, she had a plan of, like, all the events and the games that they would win and the prizes that would come with them. And so the invitation was not an invitation into a party. It was, like, more of a carnival, like, or a festival. And she, at the end, was like, this new thing's like party favors that are a big hit now. I mean, she had probably more party favors that she gave out than gifts that she got. And so this was just my daughter. And I thought about that kind of idea of an invitation. And the invitation that we were talking about in Easter, we come and we hear the story that Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. And this invitation that we might not always catch, but is incredibly important in the story of Jesus' resurrection, that the invitation is to come, to see, and to believe. So this morning we want to kind of talk about what is that, and the implications of this idea of coming, seeing, and believing has. And so if you have your Bibles, you want to turn to Matthew 28. This is the text that we will be in. It's the Jesus resurrection text. But if not, we have it on the screen. And so read this with me. After Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to the tomb. And there was a violent earthquake, and an angel of the Lord had come down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow, and the guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. And the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead, and he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried off from the tomb and were afraid, and yet filled with joy, they ran to tell his disciples. And suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. And they came to him, they clasped his feet and worshiped him. And then Jesus said, "Don't be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there you will see me." So this morning, the funny thing about Christianity is this idea we've talked about as the kingdom, but it's an upside down kingdom where some things that you might expect to happen in a story doesn't happen in the way that we feel it should go. And this is one of the things that I love about following Jesus and about Christianity is that there are things that are happening right now in this text that don't happen. Like a lot of times when you feel like you should do the certain right thing to get the reward that is coming to you, right? Like you should listen and obey as we say to our kids a lot. But instead, like the disciples, who many of them weren't at the crucifixion, they're in fact seeing this disciple. And they're at this angel, and they're at a distance. And they're invited to come and see. Like those two words show up a couple times in the text. Come and see. Don't stay at a distance anymore. Come and see. And, you know, this happens all the time when broken down parts of relationship, oftentimes distance happens, right? Distance happens in broken relationships. And instead of like just standing there and waiting for the person who had wronged you to make right, the invitation to Jesus is to come and see. He does this to his disciples, to come and see. They beckon him to come and see. Many of them, remember, they weren't at the disciples. And it says this in the text, that his word, right there at the beginning, his first words, think about this. Your best friend that you haven't seen, that you thought was dead, and the first words that he says are incredibly important. Suddenly, like right there, just appeared Jesus. He met them on the road and he said, greetings. And that word greetings is not just like, just greetings like we would do like, hi. As Jesus often would do, he would like walk into a room and he'd be like, peace be unto you. And have you ever had a friend that you know so well, and when you either hear them on the phone for the first time, is that you not only hear, but you see, and you, like, all of their mannerisms, is that this is what happens. It's like Jesus appears before them and says, peace be unto you, in a way that's so gentle, so inviting, so disarming. And in that moment, when despair is turning into hope, that instead of being scorned and shamed for their lack of presence at the crucifixion, in Jesus' most suffering moment, instead of being there and being shamed and like, why weren't you there? He says, greetings, peace be to you. And he says, come, come. Can you imagine what the disciples felt? The shame, the fear, the failure, the moment that Jesus shows up, it begins to bleed off of them. And I don't know if you've ever experienced, but like one word begins to usher in a restoration in a relationship. This is what Jesus does. He says, greetings, my friends. It's a gentle greeting. And not only that, but in the word, it's a word that says, brethren. More than brother. These are like, I know you have messed up, I know you have wronged, but you have no fear. You have to have no fear in the relationship that we have because it is secure, because I love you. You are not just my friends, you are my brother, and you are my brothers and sisters. Come and see that I have risen indeed. What a moment of instead of us feeling like we have to move first or make right, we always remember that God is the one, Jesus is the one that moves first, closes the gap, begins the healing in the relationship before we even say, I'm sorry. Man, what a moment. But this idea of coming and seeing, right? We talk about this word, like sometimes in English, we don't get a full understanding of what that encompasses. When Jesus is saying, come and see, it's not just to come near and say like, I can see what like shirts you're wearing, but it's come and see, be in such proximity that you can feel. Like the word says, taste and see that the Lord is good. That you get in proximity, that you don't just look and see that the Easter food that you're about to eat is good. You taste it and you're like, yes, this is what I've waited for. But also to hear. My friend invited me a couple weeks ago to do a sunrise hike. I've never done a sunrise hike because you know what they don't tell you about sunrise hikes? You got to get up at 4 a.m. And before you have a lick of coffee in your body or before it starts to work, you're like, hey, let's start climbing hundreds of feet of elevation in like a short period of time. And you're like, I haven't stretched. I'm 40. What are we doing? But they say it's going to be amazing. They say it'll knock your socks off. They say, and you're like, oh, I don't know about this. And the whole time you're walking up there at 4 a.m., you're like, I could be sleeping, right? I could be warm in my bed. This is so good. They say. Like, you hear a lot about what people talk about, but until you experience it, and I remember walking up the trail that he had asked us to go for the sunrise hike was Rattlesnake Lake. If you've ever done it, like, you get up there, you look out, and it is amazing. There's nothing, there's no camera, I don't care how good you are, that can capture the magnificent. And we did this a couple weeks ago where there was still snow on the mountains. It was still early where you didn't have a lot of people on the road, and just there was only me, him, and one other person, and we sat there in silence and heard everything around us. It was majestic. I had heard a lot about sunrise hikes, but it wasn't until I got up on the top and looked out and saw and experienced the goodness of what this was and why people get up to do this. It reminded me, I will now do it again. Because this experience is incredible. It's so good. It pales in comparison to what anybody might have said. And this is where we find the experience of following Jesus. Following Jesus isn't a mental exercise or a mental leap that you just decide that, like, here in this moment where they see the angel and they go, yep, tomb's rolled away. Good. Good job, Jesus. Let's go back and sit. They go close in that as they told to run back and tell the friends before they even get there, Jesus appears to them and say, come see, touch, feel, hug me. Like, do you see that in the text, they like fall at his feet, they grasp him, feeling him, worshiping him, touching the friend that they had walked with for years, who is the hope of the world. They didn't just feel, they experienced him. And that is what we do here, is that we come to church not to hear something and be like, okay, maybe if it's convincing enough to believe. Our following Jesus is an experience that we get to take every day as we experience the love, the faithfulness, the mercy, the kindness of God in real time through the Holy Spirit. And this is if it was just a mental exercise, I would have given up a long time ago. But there's a phrase that my friends say, that I say, that you hear testimony after testimony, and it's two words. It says, only God. Only God could have done this. Only God could have shown up in this way. Only God could have answered prayer. Only God could answer a prayer that I wasn't even praying. That is a good God. And I experience it, his faithfulness, his goodness, his nearness in the times of trouble and agony. Jesus is this close so I can touch, feel, and experience the Holy Spirit. If you've ever walked into a room, then you're like, man, the Holy Spirit is present in this place. That is Jesus. That is the God that we follow. It's not just a mental exercise and a mental leap. It is one that is an invitation to come and see. But you might be saying, like, I'm not there yet. I'm still trying to look and see from a distance, and I don't know if this is true. I don't know if how you've talked about following Jesus. I don't think I've experienced the Holy Spirit in a dramatic way that makes me feel for certain like it's coming to me and touching and being with Jesus. Well, you're in good company. You're in good company because this invitation to come and see is for the curious. It's for the doubters. It's for the uncertain. And it's for the faithful. And it's for the unbeliever. In John chapter 20, as John recounts the experience of Jesus' resurrection and then his meeting with his disciples, that Jesus had told them to go and tell. And at this moment, John has said that every one of the disciples had heard and seen, right? They had not just heard an experience like of Jesus and believed the testimony. They had actually seen Jesus. They had touched him. They had embraced him. They had worshiped him. But there was one who hadn't. One who hadn't. And 8 days passed between all the rest of them. And could you imagine being the one left out? Your group of friends, 10 people experienced something and you didn't. And there's this guy, Thomas. And he said this. Now Thomas, who's one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord. Not only seen, but we have touched, we have felt, we have embraced." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where his nails were and put my hand to his side, I will not believe." A week later. Come on, Jesus, couldn't you have like done a better job? Maybe 8 hours later? Not 7 days, not 8 days later? When the disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was there with them, finally, where have you been, Thomas? Through the doors were locked. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came through stud, and he said this again, "A greeting, peace be with you, peace be upon you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands, reach out your hand and put them in my side. Stop doubting and believing." And Thomas said to him, "My Lord, my God." And then Jesus said, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not yet seen and yet have still believed." Jesus walked into the room and all of the disciples had seen, heard, believed the testimony, and there was one among them who was doubting, who was uncertain, who wasn't sure that what was about to play out was really how Jesus had said it was going to play out, even though he had heard the testimony. Like, have you ever experienced that? Where you've heard multiple stories, but you have yet to believe it. It's true that, you know, hearing 20, witnesses is so different than being one eyewitness. Hearing something 20 times is so much different than seeing it for yourself. And Jesus, oh, could you imagine him? He's like, "I am the creator of all things in the world, and you dare ask me to demand something from me?" But Jesus, in his mercy and his kindness, in his grace and his peace, walks up to Thomas, and instead of saying, "You silly man," he says, "Come, touch." Like, not just once, but multiple times. However many times you need to see that I am really flesh, that my hands, my feet, my side. That Jesus wasn't obliged or obligated to meet Thomas's request, yet in his call to come and see, was to come and see to say, "I understand you doubt. I understand you are uncertain. I understand that you don't fully believe, but I'm calling you to come and see so that you might believe." This is the call of Easter. You can be uncertain. You can doubt. You can be faithful. And the call is the same. Come and see. Come and reduce the distance and become in proximity to me. Come and see, touch, and feel that I am really who I say I am. That I am alive. And right now in our experience, it is close the gap. Come and see and experience the Holy Spirit who is ever present in your life right now as you say yes to Jesus. Come and see. Receive the invitation. Respond to the invitation. Don't just hear the story. Experience a God that is so good that he would leave his throne and come as a human being to show us what it meant to live the life that we could never live. To die the death that we only deserved and raised from the dead so that you might be restored to new life in him. Not by anything that you could ever do, but because he meets you on the road of where you're going and says, "Come and see, my friends. Come and see, brothers and sisters. Don't just believe because you think it could be true. Touch, feel, taste that I am good. Open yourself up to my presence in your life so that you might know that this is the only way This is the only way to restoration. This is the only way back into a relationship with the Creator who made you, who longs to be with you, to love you, even though you don't deserve it. And what is so counterintuitive, what I believe is one of the most beautiful things of Christianity, is the church who gets it wrong so many times, but when we get it right, we look like Jesus. And people say, like, I've never experienced the Holy Spirit, but have you experienced Jesus in a brother or sister who says they follow Jesus? Jesus says, go and be flesh. Be me with flesh on to everyone you meet. Be kind so that they might know love and forgiveness. That you are the vessel of Christ to everyone that you meet. Inviting them to come and see and taste that not that you are good, but the Lord is good because he is in you and he lives in you. Will you pray with me? Holy Spirit, you woke us up this morning with breath in our lungs as we breathed life. Holy Spirit, you have been speaking all morning. You have spoken all of our life. God, give us ears to see, ears to hear and eyes to see. What do you have for us this morning? Will you help our unbelief? May we accept the invitation to come close. Maybe we've been at a distance for a long time. And Holy Spirit, you're just saying, come. Come close. Just sit with me. You don't have to say anything. Just be near. Holy Spirit, there is something that you want to say to us, you want to do in us. What is it? What is it that you're doing in our hearts right now in this moment? May we not miss it. May we believe that you truly are talking, even if we came here this morning saying this was going to be the last day I ever step foot. The last day that I ever believe. The last time I have faith because my faith has run out. And you say, come. I'll sit with you. Holy Spirit, may we go away from this place changed because you have met us. And we have heard you. I ask this in your name.